Thank you for putting on your hiking boots and joining me for this session of On the Right ADHD Trail. I'm Kathy Guest, owner of Guest Focus. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. This is my fourth time hosting this summit focusing on men and ADHD, and I couldn't be more excited to chat with each of these 15 incredible ADHD experts. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at www.getfocus.com. That's GOETTFocus.com. But are you already worried, how am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? I have the solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and as a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $150 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started and meet our next presenter, Luz Jaramillo. Luz has ADHD, dyslexia, and learning difficulties. She struggled from an eating disorder and overweight for over 36 years. She has over 20 years of experience as a master social worker, certified brain health coach, certified life and health coach, and master in neuro-linguistic programming. She has also studied neuroplasticity, eating disorder awareness, stress management, as well as mindfulness. Luz is also certified as a metabolic health and fitness coach. She is a best-selling author and motivational speaker. She has created a holistic coaching company called Brain Body Coach that uses cognitive, science-based techniques to help individuals who are dealing with emotional binge eating, stress, and low self-esteem to promote a healthy lifestyle so they can lead a happy, healthy, fulfilling, and prosperous life. Her presentation is How to Stop Binge Eating for Adults with ADHD. I'm really looking forward to that. Hi, Luz. So much to have you.
How are you,
here.
Kathy? Thank you for having me today. I'm so happy to be here with you and helping everybody.
Oh, thank you. Well, let's get right to it. So you're going to tell us your story as someone with ADHD who struggles and heals from an eating disorder?
Yeah, so a little bit of my story is that I grew up with, I would say, maybe binge eating most of my life. I remember since I was maybe 12 or so, having a little bit of anxiety when I was doing homework. So that was kind of like the part that for me was like I needed something to help me out through the struggle is going to school. I didn't have any diagnosis of ADHD when I was a child. And I guess the only way that I find out it was through my own research with actually binge eating is when I realized that it was something that it was really difficult for me. So binge eating is that I had small amounts of timing consuming a big amount of food. So during the like a whole sitting, I was able to complete like a whole package of specialty food sweets. So I was very addicted. In my mind, I was really addicted to chocolates, to anything related with sweets, cakes. So I was having them all day together through the day. I was snacking completely all the time. So it was a really situation that was really hard to deal with. And stay with the schools, it was, I knew that something was wrong with me, that school was really hard, and my memory was not as great as everybody else. So when I started to look for ways to change my eating habits, especially with obsession of weight, because I was overweight for more like 50 pounds or so, so I was able to learn different strategies of how to stop my binge eating, and that's when I discovered that it was ADHD. So it was really like a huge change for me. It was in a good way good, but in another way it was a little a struggle because it kind of like it felt like if I knew it since I was a kid, would it be maybe easier? But it was also an open mind to realize that, okay, now I get it. Now I understand what I am like that and what is really happening to me.
So you were an adult when you discovered this, that you had the ADHD and of your weight issue?
Yes, actually about maybe 13 years ago is when I discovered it. About my problems with ADHD, that's when I kind of like started to being certified and getting more in studies and learning more about this, how to find a solution, not only for the binge eating piece, but also for the ADHD part.
Okay, so then you're saying there is a link between ADHD and binge eating?
Well, coincidentally, the more research I looking for it, I found more researches. And they were all talking about that, yes, it's becoming more normal to find associations between ADHD and binge eating disorder. In fact, that it has been a lot of universities or the National Association of Eating Disorder discovered that as well, that is because not necessarily of the controlling, like we always believe that is due to the impulsivity, which it could be normal, but it's definitely because we normally do not have the control of how much we eat. And unfortunately, at the end, we feel guilty or felt like really bad that we eat like certain episodes like once in the all time. But if we start analyzing, if we think about it, what is ADHD, it's maybe hyper-focus, right? So we may be focusing on a school or homework or on a specific task that is maybe enjoyable for us. So then we tend to forget the fact that we need to kind of like eat. So sometimes we can have a full entire day eating without food, and then that's what we overeat at the end. That's a very common, especially for the clients that I've seen with ADHD. The other one is because or if you hyper-focus into the food, so you get obsessive with that, so you just want it and want it and want it. The other one is time management, and is related to what we saw before, right? Time management is that we can be a full day doing something and we forget about other things, or we have no idea how to, let's say, for example, how to plan the meals or what to eat at a certain time. So that's time management issue that is totally related with ADHD. Emotional sensitivity, we do have definitely emotional dysregulation, and that's the reason why we always want to kind of like cope when we feel sad, when we feel bored, when we feel upset. Certain emotions that we don't know how to regulate them because it's part of our ADHD, then that's why we kind of like go deeply into too much, like or all or nothing mindset, and that's really hard to kind of like regulated. So that's one of the issues as well with ADHD. Sleep problems are common. So the more we have issues sleeping, we crave the most. The nutrients depleted, so that makes us to feel like hungrier. So that's another part that is very common for ADHD. Low tolerance to boredom. So we don't know what to do when we're bored. And then not only for people without ADHD has that problem, but especially for us, due to the dopamine is really, really increased. The fact that we need to do something. We need that kind of motivation. We need something else to feel satisfied. And that's the reason why we always kind of like look for food and the impulsivity. Like we shop more, we buy more, we do certain things more. So that's the reason why we don't are so mindful in terms of what we're doing. That is like a generalization I'm talking about. That is not specifically for everybody. But that's the reason why this link is a little more intense for specifically for us than anybody else.
Well, did you find that during the pandemic when we were all home and we weren't supposed to be doing anything, we had boredom on our hands? I feel like that's when I really gained my weight and everything. So did you find like any of the correlation between that of the binge eating and ADHD?
It's unbelievable. And actually, yeah, I focus a lot into generally health. Like people, a lot of look for me just for lost weight, for body fat and so on. And it's unbelievable. Like I already know I am not a doctor, so I'm never tell someone, oh, you have ADHD. But of course, I already know who does have it right away, just talking certain things. And because I did my brain art certification with Dr. Amen, they do, we do a specific, like specialize in certain areas to discover who has or who doesn't have ADHD. But it's absolutely incredible. And then the really research shows that it's about 90% of the people who, just because of the burn and the COVID, it was really high levels of obesity, and especially definitely due to the burn and have nothing to do, very uncomfortable situation in general that creates more anxiety and depression and mental health issues that tend people to look for more comfort food.
Wow. Well, so what are the most important steps to stopping this battle with food and how to act? I mean, this is a real battle.
It is. It is. It is difficult, but I think now, since it has been more awareness of the situation, they are even a little surprised that it's still less professional with that, because compared with other areas, it's a little small, I will say. But they are definitely more nutritionists, diabetics, people who are more into the field, focusing into this. But one of the steps that I believe that it has been working for my own experience, and then I kind of like put it into practice with my clients, is definitely to learning about, through my years of compulsions with food and overweight, that one of the best tools that I couldn't even find was neuroscience. And this one is because before in my entire life, I have no clue how my brain worked. For example, understanding willpower and motivation, right? Those are the typical, the most challenges for ADHD. So what happened? If you think about that, just think about any professional who tell you to lose weight. They normally going to tell you need willpower, right? Oh, you need willpower to stop that cookie. Or you need willpower to just not having extra meals, like small plate. So it's so easy to say than done. So, of course, if you don't have the motivation, for example, to exercise, it's really hard to kind of like – do the combination. We all know that 50% or certain percentage is food, another percent is exercise. So if you don't have the motivation to move, if you don't have the willpower to eat better, it's really difficult. And then we understand that it's kind of like we feel frustrated. It's kind of like a circle. We keep going back and going. But I discovered like a few things that are really important to understand. It's like, for example, if you tell someone who eats extra dessert or snacks all day, and they're diabetic. That is really, really the most common one. The most of the time, doctors are telling you, stop, don't do it. You cannot have bread, or you cannot have sweets, or you cannot have carbs, right? Higher number of carbs. You have to monitor that. If it works through, if it really works that way, so people are telling you what to do, the numbers of diabetes and the number of obesity in this world will be less. But if, unfortunately, it doesn't work. So if we go back to the part that I told you about the neuroscience of how the brain works, the more our brain works is that the warnings, those campaigns, everything that is around the health industry, that does not work, because our brain actually works against the warnings. So reverse. Studies have shown the warnings. Pardon me?
Right.
Yes. So studies have shown that the warnings, on average, they have a little impact on our behaviors. So that's because our brain is decided for survival only. So the brain looks for pleasure and avoid pain. So the negative feelings, the warning, and especially we are always, as ADHDers, we are kind of like, do this, and we kind of like tend to do the reverse, right? It's kind of like, okay, just tell me what to do, and I won't do it. So our brains, right? Our brains trying to eliminate that. If it's a warning, we're not going to do it. So the most vulnerable people, like children, teens, elderly, and especially ADHD, neurodiversity, they have the less likely to learn from warnings. So if you think that these people don't need that, then it's definitely doing reverse. What do they work for the most? Is pleasure. So we need to find the doctors, nutritionists, coaches, teachers, everyone who is in the field needs to understand how the brain works and work not against it. So always looking for pleasure, for ways to that. So let's go back to the willpower part, okay? So we definitely said, if you want to resist a temptation, but the brain is the only responsible for willpower. So it's the one, willpower is to stay focused, to regulate emotion, for task performance, to help us to make the choices, right? So it sounds like all of those things are what with ADHD struggle, right? So the willpower is like a rechargeable battery. And I always like to do this as an example with their phone. In the mornings, you charge your phone, or at night, you charge your phone. So then when the morning is coming, your phone is fully charged. And then you have a good night, then you have a good breakfast, then you have less stress. So your battery is still charged. But if you have a stressful, you are not eating well, you don't have a good night, then by, let's see, 3 o'clock, if you think about it, that's usually the time that the battery on the phone, if you're talking too much, is already depleted, right? Correct? So that's exactly with our body. The majority of the people, based on the studies, especially for ADD, the part that is the most difficult timing of the day is between 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock in the afternoons. And then at night, after like 9 o'clock or something like that. If you think about it, that's the time that people eat the most. Cravings, uncontrollable food or something like that is because it's the time that their willpower is less. So it works. It really, really doesn't work. It's kind of like it's turned it off. Our switch is off. We have no control at all. And that's the reason why it's really, really hard. And it's funny because actually I worked for so many, many, many years with Alzheimer's. And that was the time that we call them the quickest time, the craziness time. They were all fighting, hicking, punching. They couldn't behave. They're like nicely person. Most of the time, I'm not saying every single person with Alzheimer's, but the more advanced and the more aggressive ones, they were really, especially at the time. And now I understand. So if we have ADHD and we know that that's the time that I am the tightest, then I know that I need a little bit of rest. Or I need a little movement, or I need to do something in between to help me with that time because it's the most difficult time. So, for example, exercise, meditation, mindfulness, even imagining, like something visual exercise, something that you have fun, that you enjoy, that help you with the willpower to recharge a little more. And at the same time, the dopamine.
Okay.
So if we know that, for example, we always lack of dopamine, that was definitely part of, like, really part of ADHD. So it's kind of like a focusing into foods that has higher levels of dopamine, that it helps us to increase dopamine. Carbs, for example, lower the doesn't really help you at all. Meanwhile, protein has a big amount of dopamine that helps us with our chemicals in our brain to feel kind of like recharged again.
So are you saying that have to snack, say, between that 3 to 5, get a protein snack, not a carb snack?
Preferable, yes, absolutely. Because the dopamine, as I said, we need to find ways to increase that dopamine.
Okay.
And to make us feel better. Remember, the main focus right now is if we understand our brain is something that gives us pleasure. So we need to find an activity that gives us pleasure, stop what we're doing and have that. And as well, increase the protein, that the protein gives us higher dopamine levels.
Okay.
Yes, that's one of the solutions. So the other one, in the meantime, sometimes when we have food, another thing that it has been proven is that when we overeat, when we binge, we feel guilty. We feel bad. It's like a circle, right? Tomorrow I'm going to eat better. So we start the whole entire day eating beautifully, and then we quit again, and then, I screw my whole day, so it doesn't matter, so let me just keep eating bad. So then we feel guilty, we feel shamed, we have a bad day with food. So one of the things that it has been shown is that self-compassion actually has been showing better results than, for example, when you forgive yourself for breaking your meal plan or for not exercising or for procrastinating or any other behavior. Then those are the goals that help you with the motivation. So it definitely shows, like with the scans in the brain, the difference when you do have a self-compassion, when you show lasting changes in action and behaviors, and lower the levels of cortisol. And we know that cortisol, for the people who doesn't know, those are the ones that give you the belly fat or the stress hormones.
Right.
So the more like guilty we feel, shame we guilt, we kind of like a filling our body with cortisol. So instead of like, tell me.
And we that like have ADHD, we really don't know how to give ourselves self-compassion because we are so used to beating ourselves up. Is that correct?
100%. Yes.
That everything we've been told is wrong, wrong, wrong. So we're just like, well, you know, how can I forgive myself?
Exactly.
Well, so do you suggest keto or a specific food plan that we need to use on this struggle?
Well, there has been a lot of proofs about the keto, but the only thing with that is that it's something that it shows like a short-term effect. For example,
okay,
before when yes, keto started, there were a lot of proofs about, for example, kids with epilepsy or Alzheimer's or a lot of brain damage. That definitely helps, yes. And even for people with diabetes, that helps. But we are looking for a solution that is a long-term solution.
Right.
Because we know that, like, in the short term, this is a plan that can work, but it's like a diet that in short term, in the long term, is going to be easily broken, especially for us that we kind of, like, forget. So then that's it. So
yeah.
Even though that it has a lot of benefits, and this I will focus the most into the protein part. So
okay.
If we kind of, like, focus into the nutritional part, we do have the three macros, right? The good fats, the good carbs, and the good protein. So definitely,
okay.
If we specified with a food plan, one of the most that is more the easiest to maintain and the most variable that they has all of the nutrients is, like, for example, the Mediterranean plan. Because remember, we need omega. Omega is what our brain is for. Like big percentages of our brain is water, and the other one is omega. So if we lack of omega, then of course we are going to be more forgetful. Our symptoms are going to increase. So if we focus in food that are high in omega, for example, like good almonds, good fish, good protein base as well, with good fats, that definitely helpful to increase, to maintain the glucose levels that are very important in our body. And help
okay.
us to reduce the appetite, help us to crave less sugar, help us to manage the carbs in a little more effective way, and of course, they reduce the abdominal fat that it has been proven that really help you with the cholesterol, will blood sugar, insulin levels. So those are that important to analyze. So yes, you can maybe focus into the not the ketonic state because it's really, really extreme, but in a way that you increase your protein levels on a regular basis and like focusing into that, like a check mark. Okay, so today, do I have my breakfast, lunch, and dinner with good protein? So definitely that helps you to maintain, first of all, a nice feeling of fullness. And then after that, that helps you to keep you mentally more sharp. And and help you with the willpower as well, and what we just discussed about the importance of how the brain works in general.
So the plan you were just talking about was called the Mediterranean plan. Is that what
yes.
you were saying?
It's more focusing into a very. It has a lot of vegetables. It has a lot of fruits. It has
right.
good protein. It's mainly focused into the clean food. Nothing more extreme. Lower processed food.
Right. Okay. It
doesn't mean restricting, which is a key for us, because the more restricted
yeah.
we are, and especially talking about binge eating disorders, one of the causes of binge eating is due to restriction. So when we
right.
kind of specifically restrain for certain foods is when we crave the most. The rebellion.
That is so true. So true.
Right? Yes.
Yeah. For sure. Well, we're getting close to the end, so is there, you want to just wrap this all up and give us the most important points? I think this has really been fascinating and learned so much.
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. Yeah, I would say that the most important actions steps are focusing into the awareness. When we
okay.
come into the best techniques is to impact the brain into, like, when we're going to ingest, what are we going to put in our bodies? regulate the dopamine receptors, and we know that usually are low in our body. Make sure that include, like, since we know that we lack of planning, like maybe once a week having a certain food, like list of items that you can grab in case if you had been all day long without eating a lot of food. So there is a few important things that are manageable, but the most important is awareness. That helps you to interrupt the pattern because those are the behaviors that are impacting our lives, just not to continue with that. So just pretty much is that awareness. I also work very close by with people with binge eating disorders and with ADHD to create like a specific plan, because it has been actually proven that accountability, it has been actually respond in a very good way that has been various results with people who has more likely. 9 out of 10 people who has accountability tends to have better motivation, better results, and better progress in motivation.
So something like Weight Watchers or TOPS or those type of things, because there's the accountability, can work for some people, I guess.
Yes,
is that
definitely.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it has been really wonderful talking to you, but do you have a special gift for our listeners?
Absolutely, yes. I actually made like a PFD book, an e-book that is giving you pretty much the strategies of how to eliminate the food compulsion and constant cravings. So even though you don't have binge eating, but you have overweight, you've been struggling with food and body image or so, we do have that book that is available to eliminate food compulsion and constant craving for adults with ADHD.
Well, thank you. Is there a way that they can get a hold of you, Luz, if they want to talk
sure.
to you or get into the program? What should they do?
Yes, absolutely. I am available. My company name is Brain Body Coach, so I definitely focus a lot into the brain, into the body. And I'm a coach, so brain body coach, and I am online, LinkedIn, I'm on Instagram, I have my website, so I'm available to help out if anybody needs support, especially in these areas.
Okay, so if they go to come to you as brain body coach, what would they sort of expect from you?
The accountability piece. As a coach, I usually create like kind of specific programs. Helping the people who struggle with eating disorders, with self-esteem. And I create like a specific plan of help with the integration into the foundation, the awareness, coping mechanism, help you with emotional regulations and integration into like meals, routine, planning, cooking, and all of that. That definitely, those are one of the things I believe we as an ADHD struggle the most.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Well, we've come to the end. I really appreciate you. Learned so much. And I just want to tell our listening audience that I will be back in just a few minutes with our next guest. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.